Proverbs chapter 20. You all know I fell a couple weeks ago, broke my arm in a few places, and got it all stitched up. I was really surprised that at this little scar here, I bruised and swelled clear to my fingertips and up to my elbow. Everything was black and blue and swollen. And I thought, how in the world could I get that much bruising off one little location like that? And the Lord led me to read Proverbs 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. The blueness of a wound is a bruise. When you are wounded, all of your blood rushes to that wound to fight the infection. It's an inward bleeding. It's something that's going on inside of your body, pertaining to you only. You may see my bruising, but you don't really feel my pain. You also do not get my healing. And inner healing, as I've come and I've shared some of the things God took me through, some of the pains of my life, they were my wounds. And as the blood of Christ flowed with healing, you might have been able to witness that, to see the transformation. You saw my wound heal. You saw me change. You saw how that inward bruising and the blood of Christ healed me and brought that newness to me, that refreshing to me. But that wouldn't make it happen in you. The second part of this verse, I always had a hard time understanding, and the Lord opened it up to me, and stripes, so do stripes, the inward parts of the belly. The inward parts of the belly refers to things that are deep, deep, deep inside of you, that are hidden very, very deeply in you. Stripes is interpreted blows that cut in. A blow that cuts in allows blood to flow out. So when we are healed, and the bruising of that, the inward workings of His blood heal us, then we have to come to a place where we're willing to accept blows from others, wounds from others, which will cut deeply. It cuts deeply enough that that healing we got from Christ can flow out to someone else. Jesus was cut deeply. As they stuck the spear in His side, He was cut deeply and His blood flowed out from Him. There is power in the blood. Amen. In the Baptist church we used to sing, there is power, power, power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We don't understand how in the world blood that spilled 2,000 years ago can bring power to our life today, but it does. The life is in the blood.
Right.
Life is in the blood. Blood does not die. God says, the blood calls out from the earth to me. When a person dies and his blood is spilled into the ground, that blood cries out to God. It cries out to God. It's still alive. The blood of Christ is still alive, though it poured out of His body. It is still alive, and it makes intercession. The blood is beyond anything we're ever going to understand until we go to heaven. We will not understand blood. We won't. It's a marvelous, wonderful, miraculous thing that's beyond human understanding. But I do know this, that in the Old Testament, this isn't the message, so I'm going to brief it, make it a little capsule thought, because I want you to get the picture of blood. Whenever they sinned, they had to go out into their sheep, which was their living, and they had to find a young sheep. Couldn't be over a year old, had to be a male, could not have any cuts, bruises, or blemishes, and they had to take that sheep, and they had to go to the temple, and they had to slice his throat and pour his innocent blood out. And tomorrow when they sinned, they had to go do it again because the blood of animals could never make a permanent atonement because they aren't perfect. But the blood was the only payment for sin. You could cry all day long, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I won't do it again. But you will do it again anyway because we're all sinners by nature. But there was no forgiveness until you killed that lamb and brought the blood. I know it sounds horrible, but there's life in the blood. And when you sin, the wages of sin is death. The only counteractive to death is life.
Right.
So it takes life to counteract death. Right. You bring death in your body, you must bring life in to counteract that death. And that can only happen through blood, innocent blood. That was just a picture of Christ, who was the ultimate Lamb of God. Never sinned, because he was God. Never sinned. So when he went to that cross, he took your sin and he spilled his blood that his life could become yours. He took your death that he did not deserve. He died your death and he gave you his life by giving you the blood of life that eternally can wash away your sin. But he did more than that. He did more than that. Let's go to Isaiah 53. He did so much more than just take away our sin, the payment for our sin. He did more. In verse 3, said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Christ was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Whose sorrow? Whose grief? Ours. When your heart is broken, so is his. I have been in the presence of God when he's weeping. I have been in his presence when he's weeping so deep. You can feel it in the inward parts of your belly because he feels your sorrow. He feels your grief. You know, when someone offends you, what do you really want from them? You may think you want to beat them up, send them to jail, hang them, kill them, whatever. What you really want is that they understand what they made you feel. You want them to feel your grief. 99% of the time, they don't. They don't. Apologies are shallow. Apologies, because we're selfish. We're sinful humans and we're selfish. A lot of times we apologize, we are not putting ourselves in the other person's place and saying, oh, I must have hurt you so deeply. You must be feeling terrible. It just breaks my heart how I hurt you. No, the best of us are usually saying, I want to be right with God. I don't want to be guilty of sin, so I'm really sorry if I hurt you. But you know I didn't mean to. And then we have a list of justification, excuses, and reasons, and you just took it wrong. For someone to actually reach inside of you and touch that grief, touch that pain, only God. Only God. Only God can do it. But you know what? He wants to do it through us because we are where he lives. We are his temple. He lives in us. He wants to touch the grief in others, the sorrow. But you have to let him do it through you. And in order to do it through you, he uses your hands, your eyes, your mouth, and your heart. So you have to feel the pain of others. We're not even willing to feel our own pain, much less take on others. But that's what he wants. He wants to live in us. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. He bore our grief willingly, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. People stood at the cross and said, If he is God, then why doesn't he save himself? Because he was willing to take stripes that you might be healed. He was willing to be cut deeply that you might get healing. Not just forgiveness of sin and go to heaven, but healing physically, mentally, emotionally. He wants to take your sorrow. He wants to take your grief. He wants to take your sickness. He wants to heal you. Why didn't he just touch my wrist and heal it, heal that bone? Because I needed to experience the blueness of the wound and stripes. That's what I needed to experience in order that you might open up and let him heal you. There's a purpose in the pain. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. My question to you, will you let him? Have you let him? Have you brought it all to him? Have you even allowed the bruising? Have you allowed the bruising, the inward working of the blood of Christ to heal you. Have you brought all your sin to the cross? Have you brought all your pains and your heartaches and your woundedness to the cross that your heart could be healed? Have you brought your sorrows and your griefs to Him? It hurts. It hurts. We put it away when we're hurt because we don't want to hurt. You got hurt when you were 2 or 5 or 10 or 25. You don't want to feel it again. You don't want to face it again. So you just put it away in the inward parts of your belly and keep it there. Don't think about it. Don't bring it to your mind. But it affects your life. It builds a wall. It builds a big wall. And you don't let people love you the way they want. You don't know how to be loved. And you don't know how to give love. Because it's risky. It hurts. And you don't want to be hurt again. So you lock it all up. Well, you don't get over it until you face it. You don't get over pain until you're willing to face the pain and let the inward blueness of a wound take away the evil. When we talk about inner healing in here, emotional inner healing, and we face our pains, the first thing we always do is forgive. We hold the offender completely guilty. What I used to do was try to make excuses. Why did my dad do this? Well, because his mom and dad didn't favor him. They didn't like him much. They liked his brother better. And he didn't get affection. And actually, my mom married him, and she didn't really like him either. So she didn't give him much affection. He was just a poor, lonely person who needed affection. Excuses, 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 so that I could try to be a good Christian and forgive him. But I was still mad at him. I was always still mad at him. I couldn't get over the pain. No matter what good reasons or excuses he had, it still hurt to think about it. God finally said, stop making his excuses. Hold him accountable. And when I did that, and I was able to say, God, here is my dad. Why didn't you act like a dad? Why didn't you love me? Why did you hurt me? Why couldn't you just be my daddy? I needed a daddy. Why couldn't you be my daddy? Why did you hurt me? Why did you hate me? God, this man is guilty. Bad dad. He did wrong and he's guilty. But I don't want you to punish him. I choose to forgive him. I ask you to tear up the debt. And don't punish him. Forgive him. That's step one. Step two, I need to be healed. I need a daddy. I need healing. But God, I have to admit my sin, the blueness of the wound. The blood flows to the healing, but it also has to identify the sin. There has to be the confession. I hated my dad, and hate is a sin. I hated him. I wanted him to die. I used to ask God to partner with me on that. Would you please just kill my dad? Then my house could be happy. I thought he was so wicked, if God would just kill him, the rest of us could live happy. I wanted God to be a murderer too. I had murder in my heart. I had hate in my heart. I had revenge in my heart. I had spite, meanness, brattiness, lying. I used to do things and lie to him. I would put salt in his sugar bowl and then laugh when he salted his coffee. I did things terrible to my... I used to make him lose his temper. So he'd get up and start punching walls, and then I would laugh at him. I was a little monster over it. And then I locked up my emotions. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Then I locked up my emotions. My dad didn't like animals. But my mom finally bought me a little white fuzzy cat. And that was my best friend. I told that cat everything, all my secrets. I love that little kitty. And my dad was mad at me one day. So he put the cat's milk in the middle of the driveway, got in his car, and waited till the cat went to drink the milk, and then he ran over my cat in front of me to punish me. Instead of crying, I looked at my dad and said, I don't care. I could get another one. And I made a choice that day. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. No care what else this man does to me, he can't touch me anymore because I'm going cold. I'm just not going to feel it anymore. And I locked up my emotions. Our God is an emotional God. He is a crybaby. God's a big crybaby. God says, I weep in secret places for you. God says, oh, that my head were many waters for all the weeping I do for my people. And you know what? There's healing in those tears. But we don't let those tears touch us in the deep inner parts of our belly because we don't want to feel pain. There is no healing without emotion. There is no healing without feeling. You have to feel it. You have to face it, feel it, deal with it with God in order to get the healing. You can't put a lot of bandages on it and refuse to take the medication. You have to receive it. If we're going to be ministers of God, we have to realize a couple things. Number one, we have to realize we need healing. And number two, we have to realize we have to give healing. I prayed and I said, God, I've had kind of a hard week. You know when you get wounded physically, sometimes you just, first of all, it was pain pills and I didn't read my Bible. I just kept sleeping because I was taking pain pills. And then I just really didn't care. I was in pain or I was tired. I wasn't praying like normal. Pretty soon you just don't start feeling very spiritual, you know. So I started praying, God, why is it that the thing that I want more than anything in the world keeps getting interrupted by the things I do more than anything in the world? What I'm doing is not a reflection of what I want. I want to walk with God. And he said, do you really? Yeah, I do. So I closed my eyes, and I had a vision. And I don't like the vision. I'm trying to find it here. I'll just tell you. I saw a box. It was a puzzle box. And it had all these little tiny drawers in it. I love puzzles. I love mysteries. I just couldn't wait to open these little drawers. I mean, this box is from God. There's got to be something really cool in these little drawers, you know? So I'm going, which one first? Which one should I open? If it's a puzzle, I wonder if it matters which one I open first. And finally, it's kind of like backing up and thinking, okay, which one, God, which one? So I'm expecting I'm going to get the right drawer. I'm going to get the right prize. And I pull open a drawer. Out comes a venomous snake with fangs, and he bites me and injects me with his venom. That is not what I expected God to send into my life. But it was from God. And he said, are you willing to take some blows? Are you willing to be struck with some stripes that will make you bleed outwardly? I'm not talking bruising now. I'm talking, I want to break the skin and pour the blood out. Are you willing to take some blows? Thinking that, you know, oh, anything you say, God, I trust you. Yes, I will. I know just what you mean. You want me to let people hurt me, and it's okay because you're going to heal me. And then I have the antidote because, you see, when you get poisoned by others and you run back to God's holy hospital and he heals you, you now own the antidote to that bite. And you can give it to others. Okay, I got it. I understand the vision. Ready to go. I'll take the blows. Expecting it to come, maybe from some of you guys, maybe from the world, maybe from my own kids, maybe from others. But you know the blows that we're not prepared for? Other people who love God and love us, we don't expect them to hurt us. So when I got hurt, I didn't run to God and get antidote. I got mad. God is an emotional God. And I just had a thought this morning. I think that jealousy is of God. Our God is a jealous God, right? But the demons take jealousy and they turn it into a monster. They go to the extreme with jealousy. They become possessive, controlling, suspicious, paranoid. That isn't the kind of jealousy God feels. Fear is a good thing. If you're standing in the road and a Mack truck is coming at you, you better have a little fear that says, get out of the road. That's good fear. Fear that turns into paranoia. Somebody's going to get me. Somebody's going to hurt me. I can't be in this dark house. Something's going to get me. Bad fear. I just realized this morning, I think almost every emotion God experiences, but the demons without God take the fears to an extreme and into deception. Anger has always been a bad thing in my book. And yet, I know that God is angry. I know that there's a wrath of God. There's an anger of God. And yet I know there's a spirit of anger that is nothing more than a passionate desire to hurt, pay back, and get revenge. That's an evil spirit of anger. But God gets angry. I read a verse this morning. I don't even know if I wrote it down. I think it was in Isaiah 54. That he said, the Lord said, maybe it was 55. Yes, 54:7. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you in a little wrath. In a little wrath. God was just a little angry. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. God was angry, and he said, I had to hide my face from you for a minute so that I could remember how much I love you and how weak you are, and what you're doing is not the real you. It's the enemy acting out through you. I had to hide my face from you for a minute so that I could come back in loving kindness. He that is soon angry is a fool. Wicked man has a violent, fast temper. That's foolishness. That's wickedness. But if you go hide your face in God for a moment, you can calm down. I got angry yesterday, and I didn't go hide my face for a moment. I just let the anger, actually, didn't start out as anger. It was hurt. I started out being hurt, but I didn't want to cry. I did not want to cry. I made excuses, like, I'm not going to ruin the ministry training time by making this about me. I'm not going to kill anything God wanted to do in ministry training by making this about me. So I'm just going to be quiet and save it and hold it. But the truth of it is, I just didn't want to cry. I didn't want to be a baby. I didn't want to cry. I thought it was childish and foolish, and I was not going to cry. So instead of crying, I sat there and let it turn into anger, and it festered. And that evil spirit of anger started saying all kinds of things to me that got worse and worse and worse. So when I finally did open my mouth, I was just unleashing a spirit of anger now. God likes tears. And if you show your pain when you're hurt through tears, you won't allow evil spirits to come in and press on those emotions and turn them into something evil that strikes out and puts venom in people. God likes us to show emotion, even anger, controlled. Controlled anger. There are things that should anger us. Abortion angers me, but I'm not going to burn up the abortion clinic nor murder the mothers who did it. But it angers me. The act of abortion angers me. I hate it. I hate the murdering of babies, those lives that never got to be lived. But I love those women. Will we receive blows? Will we receive blows? When you get a blow, how do you react? Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. In 6:4 it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture, training of the Lord. The admonition, training, admonition, training, admonition. Training. You know what training is? Repetition. Repetition is the best teacher. It's frustrating. It's easier to get angry. It's easier to say, I have told you 500 times not to do that. Why don't you get it? God says, don't be angry. Be angry, but don't sin. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't frustrate your children. Don't depress your children with a spirit of anger. Because once you take on the evil spirit of anger, they don't hear what you're saying to them. You do not make your point because you said it louder. They look in your face. They don't see mommy anymore. They don't see daddy. What they see is the evil spirit who hates them and wants to destroy them. The lesson is, if you want to release God, you have to let snakes bite you. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it when snakes bite you. You do not like it. It hurts. But admit the pain. Deal with it as pain. If you're suddenly angry, hide your face from them for a few moments while you go to God with the pain, with the anger, with the emotion. Every emotion is okay until it turns evil. Don't let it turn to evil. Take the emotion to God quickly. Let him baby you. Let him feel sorry for you. Let him understand. Pour it out. Let him heal you. And then you can come back in loving kindness and you can heal others. You can bleed publicly. You can allow your wounds to open. Whatever he's done deep inside of you that you still don't even want others to know about, let your shame be gone. Let your issues be seen. Shame shouldn't even live in you once God has healed you over something. Once he's forgiven you, there shouldn't be any more shame. Like I said, I'm preaching to me. I still have shame. I still have a lot of shame. I have shame about the way I raised my kids. I have shame about the situations I took them into. I have shame about walking out on relationships. I have all kinds of shame. I'm ashamed of it, but you can't let a spirit of shame bury you and hide you in it. You have to be open and vulnerable with your pains for others to get any healing. First the inward bruising. First the blueness of your wound, cleansing you inwardly. Others may see the bruising, but when you let yourself be cut open and pour out, they will be healed. And the way you get cut open is usually when they offend you, when they wound you, when they hurt you. That's what cuts you open. That's what reveals what's inside of you and why. So let's not avoid pain. Let's welcome it. But let's welcome it knowing that we can take it to God and that we can be healed and we can minister to others. Father, I pray because I know what follows this kind of a message. Snake bites. I know that. And Lord, the ones that hurt the deepest are the ones that come from those that we love the most, that we trust the most, that we don't expect it from. We go out into the world and we let them bite us and we just say, sinner, lost person, they need Jesus. Be gracious. But when those we love bite us, the grace seems to disappear. May we not expect Christians to be different. Romans 3 goes on to tell us all these wicked things about sinners. And then Jesus says, do you think that you're any different? Do you think you're any better? You're not. But you're covered by the blood of Christ. You're forgiven. But you still have the nature of a sinner. We still need rescue. We still need mercy. We still need deliverance. We still need others to be willing to bleed for us. And God, it's only your blood. Only your blood carries the life. Only your blood carries the antidote. It's not our bleeding. It's us letting you bleed through us. It's what you've done in us, allowing it to reach others. It is you, Lord. It is your life that transforms, that heals. We just want to be open, vulnerable, real, exposed, so that you can flow your life out of us to others. Make us willing. Lord, we invite you. We invite you to come into the depth of us and heal us and live in us and through us. In the name of Jesus.